Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul. Hello. Andrews. That was a lovely little intro you just did then, wasn't
it? I just knocked that up earlier.
I know. A warm hello to all our new listeners. They may be new ones.
Yeah, we got some new listeners.
We have.
We're now live on 100.2 FM. So welcome to all of our listeners in South Kent and East Sussex.
That's the
Cinque Ports Radio. It's covering Romney Marsh, Tenterton, New Romney, Dymchurch, Winchelsea, Rye. Yeah, it's going everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Little pebbly beaches.
Absolutely.
Good pubs.
Lots of good pubs and eateries and as you say, some nice beaches. We'd like to hear from you, the listeners, as well. You can tweet in. While we're on air, you can either tweet me, and my Twitter handle for some bizarre reason is Vanilla Web, I don't know. I can't even remember. I joined Twitter donkeys years ago, and it was something I was planning to do called Vanilla Internet, and I didn't do it, but I'd already set up the account, so I just went with the name.
I think that's the thing, that those of us who've been on Twitter and all this malarkey for years, we didn't really think about it in those days, about having the best Twitter handle. I mean, I just put my name. I couldn't think of anything.
Well, your name's fairly unique, see, but mine isn't. When I try to just put Paul Andrews, there's about 9 million people called Paul Andrews.
There's lots of Andrew Pauls as well.
Yeah, there is.
We know a few of those.
And I didn't want to be Paul Andrews 1347773473.
You can never remember it.
Well, I could remember it because I just told you.
Yeah, but you can't remember.
No, but you can't remember it now. No.
Numbers. But it's the same with passwords, isn't it? When I first started out, which was 100 years ago, with Press Up Group, which is PR, marketing agency, consultancy, whatever you want to call it. The passwords, they said, you've got to have a different password for everything. Mm. I've got books. I've got whole books.
Yeah.
And when my tech guy comes around, Billy Dean, he goes, well, what's the password for that? I go, hang on a minute. And I go through this book, which has got about 58 pages.
It's on a post-it note somewhere.
It's not meant to have.
No, it's just ridiculous. Well, you can have it in your house, because unless a burglar came in, and then obviously they'd find everything anyway. My bete noir is passwords, and Billy Dean's even set me up with a password thing.
But
it never works.
Passwords are bonkers. Yeah. They
it's
recommend
a good one, by the way, bonkers.
I know that's your password. Yeah, that's why I was saying it. Yeah. The problem is they say you should have a different password. You never remember more than one, let alone hundreds, and you'd never remember which one was for which. You've got two-factor authentication these days, which helps. But really, the tech industry has to have a real rethink about how passwords work, because it's just incongruous. It just doesn't work. Everybody uses simple passwords and the same password, because you can't remember 1,000 passwords.
Well, I've got three sort of. I've got like a business one,
which is
I'm not telling you.
All right.
My phone. You've taken over my phone.
I know all your passwords.
Occasion.
Yeah.
So I've got a business one, then I've got like a shopping one.
Right.
And then I've got a sort of a family one.
Right.
Which I'm not telling you either. But what I'm doing now, it's quite clever, I think. I do a prefix for the website that I'm on. So say I'm on SoundCloud, I do an S.
Are you making notes of this?
A capital S first, and then my other password that's proper.
The reason all of that falls apart is you then come across some website that says it must be a 9-character password that has to have symbols.
And then you can't have an exclamation.
And you can't have an underscore, but you can have a character and a letter and a number.
The whole
it must end on a Thursday. Yeah.
I know. Anyway, let's say cheery hello.
Anyway, hold on. I started saying something. You interrupted. Yeah, I started telling people about
importance?
It was important, yeah, but you interrupted as always. I started telling people about contacting us on Twitter.
Oh,
I got as far as reading my Twitter handle, and then that was it. You went off on one.
Yeah, well.
So anyway, you can contact me on Twitter by using my handle, which is still Vanilla Web for all of that. Yeah. Or you can contact her, which is Jewel Serkin, Serkin. Jewel Serkin.
S for sugar.
You can tweet either of us with your news, whether you've got events or anything that's happening or anything, or just to say hello. But please use the hashtag #BBunker. Use the hashtag #BBunker and then we'll find you.
We'll hear you, if you use #BBunker. And also, if you are in your little office or if you're working from home, what's that? WFH, isn't it now? WFH, work from home. Everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
If you are, we'd love to know what you're seeing. What are you seeing out your window? I like that, because if they're in Romney Marsh, they probably have a little sheep. You
know, herds of wildebeest, exactly, sweeping majestically across the marsh.
Yeah, the odd porcupine.
Remember, we've been doing this show 15 years, and when we first started, we were on Hagland's Farm.
Young and thin.
We were, yeah. But we were on Hagland's Farm in Dymchurch.
Yeah.
And do you remember, and they have alpacas there.
I've got alpaca socks from there.
Yeah, yeah. And one summer, an alpaca stuck its head through the window while we were on air,
yeah,
which, of course, I made reference to. And some of our listeners in the United States then went, we didn't realise that alpacas were native to England. And we went, yeah, there's herds of wild alpacas and llamas roaming across the Romney Marsh. Yeah. And then they swim to France.
En français. Well, and I had Fred, of course, a skunk?
Porcupine.
Who was the skunk that mounted my leg on occasion?
No, that was Fred. That Fred was porcupine. The skunk was, I don't know what the skunk was called.
Unsavory, if anything.
But we stayed well away from the skunk, yeah, just in case it let go. But, yeah, you know,
but he used to pop in.
He did, but Fred the porcupine was worse because he snaffled all the biscuits.
Yeah, he did. He was lovely. But we used to do, because the Superior Show, Scoff and Quaff, we'd do proper cookings there. I'd have chefs there because we had a whole big sort of ranch there, didn't we, really?
Exactly, yeah.
But anyway, we love where we are now. We're right near Ashford Town, and we'd love to hear from all of you if you're in South East or East Sussex and you're wondering what on earth you've tuned into.
I know. It doesn't get any better, I'm afraid. I'm going to read some tweets. We've had a tweet from I Trust Assurance, and they say, can we have a shout out on the Business Monkey Show? Well, of course you can. That's Nick, Inge and the team at I Trust Assurance, the whistle blowing up. Do give them a follow on Twitter. Chips and Dinks, the lovely Bev and Tony, they say, blasting off on one today with the Business Bunker Show. It's all about recruitment, talent and leadership, and that's just not the hugely talented Jill Serkin. Well, no. Oh. And Vanilla Webb either. So thank you. That's Chips and Dinks, Bev and Tony. Thank you for that.
We had a lovely tweet with some tips, actually, from Cheap Accounting on the Twitter. They're called
Cheap
Accounting.
Yeah, I saw that, Elaine, yeah.
Yeah, lovely. So she says, two brands, one woman, accounting in her blood, her team of qualified accountants, mission equals make you love accounts. I'm never going to love accounts, but she says she can make you love accounts as they tell you how much to pay yourself. And so you can follow them and get lots and lots of tips. And she's saying, if you can't pay your tax bill this January, don't ignore it, as MHRC will add 5% of tax outstanding after 30 days, then another 5% 5 months later, and another 5% 6 months after that. Work out how much you can pay, then contact HMRC and arrange a payment plan. So that's very wise words.
That's really good advice. And lots of people are struggling at the moment. So, you know, don't leave it, because that's the worst you can do. I have to say, in all honesty, if you can actually get through, HMRC are normally quite helpful with things like that. If you're really struggling, they do appreciate it. What you mustn't do, though, is agree a payment plan and then default on the payment plan, because they'll kill you. Yeah. If you agree to pay £1 a week, pay £1 a week, but don't try and stop it after a while, because that just won't get you anywhere.
We've had a tweet from Paragon Drones.
Have you?
Yeah,
we have.
The Royal We. They have quite rightly used the Bee Bunker hashtag, and they are propelling drone services to higher levels through excellence, harmonising drones and businesses by creating value and exceeding expectation. Now, they're based in Chatham, but they go everywhere being a drone.
So they even go up drains.
They do. Yeah. They drone up drains.
Drone up drains,
yeah.
That's not easy to say, draining drones.
No, not after a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Especially the tea here. So you can find them on paragondrones.co.uk. Give them a little wave from us.
Tracy Ferguson over in Medway, looking forward to tuning in live to the Business Bunker Show again today. See you all later. Yeah, I hope your toes are getting better, Tracy. Tracy had a little toe stubbing accident the other day where she hurt her toes.
She hurtled down the stairs.
She did, yeah.
It was awful.
Horrible.
My sister-in-law did that and she broke her nose.
What?
She broke her nose.
She stubbed her toes and broke her nose.
No, she didn't stub her toe, but she fell down and fell on her nose.
She drunk.
She's got quite a small nose. No, she doesn't. She's not a drinker, my sister-in-law. It's always
happened then?
I hope she's not listening, but it's always a bit, you know, you go out to a restaurant with her, and it's always, you know, nothing ever happens for drinks. And I go, can we have some wine, please? Can we have a jug of water? And they're all into the food, you know.
Right,
the Jewish,
okay.
You see. The Jewish, don't. They're not big drinkers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you make up for it, really, don't you?
I have their portions. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They're not big drinkers.
Jules will put away a bottle of Carver at breakfast, to be honest.
You go to a Jewish wedding and all the Christians at the Jewish wedding go to the bar.
Yeah.
And all the Jewish people go to the food.
Yeah.
The old roll mops.
Whereas you do both.
I do. I drink first. I do like my prinks.
Yeah.
You know what a prink is?
No, go on.
Well, it's pre-dinner drink is a prink. That's my favourite bit.
Is it?
Yeah, because you know, I went to the pig.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, in Bridge.
Yeah. Was it nice?
Bridge, if listeners don't know, it's just outside Canterbury. It was wonderful. I highly recommend it. It was amazing.
You know, my oldest son, Jamie, and his wife and my grandson were over for Christmas. They live in France. Mm. They were over for Christmas. They went to Will Devlin's new gaff.
Oh, yeah.
Birchwood.
Which one? Oh, the Birchwood one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
they said it was brilliant.
It is. Yeah. Everything he does. But the Bridge, the pig, is sort of like Will's, but on a huge scale.
Right.
And it was Shay, my son's birthday. Mm. He was 27. Doesn't that make me feel
oh, no,
really?
You're
the baby.
So old. Yeah, but he's your youngest.
Yeah.
Who you haven't mentioned, the other two.
No, I won't. Yeah, 36.
The 71.
I know, he's the baby. So yeah. he booked it 3 months ago, but it was absolutely exceptional. I would say everything from the cocktails to the food and the service. Like, you know, hospitality, the training ran all the way through. Fabulous. My kind of place.
Brilliant. Yeah. I saw your tweets about it and you waxing lyrical. I thought, hello, she's after a free dinner again.
Yeah.
Right, Sarah Marsh Collins, the lovely Sarah, she says, it's Tuesday again. It's time for another round of scintillating chat and cheesy tunage with the irreplaceable Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin on the Business Bunker Show. And she's got a really fabulous gif here. So if you follow Sarah on Twitter, you'll see the gif she posted, which is wonderful. Her Twitter handle is S. Marsh Collins. Collings. Give her a follow. So thank you, Sarah, and welcome. Thank you for listening. I'll tell you what, Jules, you can read an email now.
Can I?
Thank you. Yeah, go on.
So kind of you. So there's
I'm meeting, good like that.
There's a meeting of, what is the date today? I've got no idea. Is it the 15th? 16th?
It's the 17th.
Okay, so mañana, there's a meeting of the Marsh Network,
right,
which is an online networking meeting. It's at 10:30 a.m. on the 18th of January, mañana. You can book by going to www.marshnetwork.co.uk. You can join people and organisations across Kent, Sussex and beyond for our relaxed style of professional networking. And the presenter will be Alison Gordon. She's from the Computer People. So that's from the lovely Terry Botfield. You can find him on, there's a little email which I'll read out, which is terry@botfield.net. That's field spelt as in where your sheep may graze. And then on the Twitter, he's at T for Donald. B-O-T-T-Y.
Jules has her own phonetic alphabet for those that don't understand, which heavily features things like, you know, P for pterodactyl.
Yeah, and also use the hashtag MarshBizCoach. I'm having real problems getting my words out because my endocrinologist has changed my thyroid dose without telling me, and I've only just discovered, so I'm all over the place at the moment. Be kind to me, listener.
Tracy Ferguson has tweeted, hello Jules, Paul and guests, happy Tuesday. Well, happy Tuesday to you as well, Tracy. I hope you're feeling better.
Lovely day.
I hope you had a lovely birthday. It was her birthday last week as well, wasn't it? I hope you had a lovely birthday.
I saw a picture of her and Mike and she looked like she'd got her little toe into some little nice shoe.
Mm. Right. What should we do now? I'll tell you what. Oh, that's only you. I was getting messages and I thought I'd better read that, but it was only you.
Well, look, there's a small company and they're packing a big punch, Vanilla Web.
Is that right?
Yeah, across the globe. They're developing parts for Formula One cars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
Space orbiters. Wasn't that one that just crashed, the Virgin thing? That was
a bit
embarrassing, wasn't it?
It was, really.
So what happened, they were launching, was this big thing about Virgin launching into orbit from
it was a low orbit satellite.
Was
and
it in Somerset or something?
Yeah, yeah. And it crashed.
And it didn't do very well, did it?
Yeah.
It didn't get into orbit. Yeah. But now they're doing a brain scanner for children, which could detect conditions such as epilepsy. And this is Magnetic Shields Limited. and they've been based in Staplehurst for more than 60 years. And they produce specialised magnetic shields and a material which protects or blocks magnetic fields for electronic components. Mm. And it's recently built a second multi-million pound factory. Wow, this is amazing.
It's great. It's in Staplehurst.
And headquarters, committing its future to the County of Kent. So that's brilliant. So bring it on for Magnetic Shields Limited. Go and look at them and see what they're doing. And as Paul Andrews said, they're based in Staplehurst in Kent. And they're very established, 60 years. So that's great. We love that. We love good news on the Business Bunker.
Absolutely. Here's an event that's happening in February that you might be interested in. KO Digital are staging a review. And it's happening on the 16th of February at Canterbury Christ Church University. KO Digital are publishing their review into the digital strategies of the fastest growing companies of the Southeast. The event is aimed at business owners and marketers to learn how to grow a business online. The seminar will cover three key areas: headline findings on what the fastest growing companies in the Southeast are doing and not doing online, what business tools should SMEs look out for in the future, and a business growth panel discussion. The seminar is entirely free, and you can book your free tickets, and you can find out more details if you go to kempisisradio.co.uk/calendar. All the details for this are there, and there's a link to book your free tickets. Sounds very interesting, that.
It does indeed. And during the tumultuous. Well, I mean, it's
tumultuous.
It's not even a word. Is
tumultuous.
It? It's, the spelling is just ridiculous.
Tumultuous.
Tumultuous. Yeah. You say it very well. You say it like you're having a glass of port.
Yeah, tumultuous. Nice with Stilton.
Bit of blue cheese.
Yeah, Stilton and port. I don't drink port. I'm teetotal. Yeah, why would I drink port?
I'd have your port. You just.
Yeah, I know you would. You'd have my cheese as well.
Did you see the menu of cheeses I sent you?
Yeah, I did.
All Kentish. Nice. From the pig.
I had lunch with Peter Chapman the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
And Harry Covert.
Yeah. And
where?
Do you want to know where we had lunch?
Yeah.
It was really nice.
Was it his house?
No. It was at North Kent College.
Oh, okay.
They have a restaurant called The View.
Is it done with the catering students?
Yeah. And it was fabulous. It was absolutely
always
fabulous. Pete and I had lunch there. And he was telling me about a cheese and raw milk producer at the top of Rootham Hill.
That's what I need. Raw milk is very, very good.
There's a farm that you can visit that sells their own cheese, which he swears by, and raw milk.
Extremely good for the gut. The gut health.
There you go.
Tummy health. Oh, how is Harry?
He's fine. He sends his regards.
Hasn't been flooded?
He's moved, hasn't he?
Oh, has he? I don't blame him.
No, he's not in Yordan anymore. He's moved out of the flood zone.
We know who else contacted me during Christmas. See, we're going into a little bit of gossip here. Yeah, just me and Paul. It's the Paul and Jules show now. We've got off bunker. Alistair Jessel.
Oh, right.
Who used to, of course, have Taywell ice cream.
Yeah, yeah.
Of which we tasted quite a lot, didn't we? Mm. So he contacted me, and I'm going to see him in Battersea.
Oh, are you?
How lovely. And he said he always thinks about me. So did he contact you?
I saw Alistair in just before Christmas.
Okay.
He was a judge. I was a compere for the Kent Business Awards, and he was one of the judges.
On ice for a minute. No.
I haven't done that yet.
I was worried.
No, it was the Kent Business Awards. I was the compere, and Alistair was one of the judges. Okay. So we had a long catch up and a chat.
Well, you must have jogged his memory about me or something, because he phoned me. Yeah, it was lovely.
I did. I was telling him all the gossip. I mean, that Jules behind me, what a nightmare.
I know. And I he's on my list to phone this week, because I'm sort of back into work mode now.
Oh, are you? At last. It's only February.
Yeah. I've had the last mince pie. We're off. So where was I? During the tumultuous.
Yeah, tumultuous.
Three years since the emergence of COVID, businesses across...
Was that tumultuous? Wasn't that a character in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. Or maybe Harry Potter. It sounds like that sort of thing, doesn't it? Sounds like some sort of monster.
Yeah.
Anyway, during the emergence of the COVID, businesses across the county have faced a series of shocks.
Oh, it was Mr. Tumulus, wasn't it? Yeah.
Who's that? Lion, Witch and Wardrobe?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I only knew the lion, really. I need to read it again.
Yeah, yeah, I would if I were you.
A long time.
Yeah. Sorry, did I interrupt you?
Yeah, again.
Yeah.
So these series of business shocks from lockdowns and staff shortages, Paul Andrews, to soaring bills and the cost of living crisis. Some Kent high streets have emerged from the pandemic in rude health.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the rude of health.
Rudest.
One could say, yeah. Thanks to a surge in people moving from London, along with changes to working patterns and shopping habits. And a bumper Christmas, which saw, I do like that word bumper. We should have bumper in every email that we're ever sent.
Yep.
After a bumper Christmas, imagine if you had a jumper shop and you could say we've got
bumper jumpers.
Yeah. Christmas, which saw shoppers queuing out the door and up the street. It's unsurprising to find butcher Dave McCaffrey wearing a smile. So his shop is Watson, Neil and Sons. Which is all wrong. It should be called McCaffrey's, shouldn't it?
Yep.
We'll have to get to the bottom of that. And they've seen demand soar. Instead, the whole high street in Cheriton, which is in Folkestone, has bounced back stronger than ever following the shock of the pandemic, according to data. Brilliant. Yeah, my butcher is amazing. There's no egg shortage at my butcher, but there is at the local supermarket.
Fantastic. So had a tweet from Jade, Window Cleaning Services.
Hello.
I say, hello, Business Monker, Vanilla Web and Jill Serkin. We're listening from Devon.
Oh.
And without Sarah, who's in London.
Well, that's all wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, you've lost her. We'd love a shout-out, please. Jade Window Cleaning and Support Services. Don't worry about the height. We'll get it right. Oh, I like what they did there. Wow. And they've shown some fantastic photographs of them cleaning big office blocks. So give them a follow on Twitter, JWC. On their Twitter handle is Jade Window Clean. Tracy Ferguson, thank you.
She's got a photo of pink shoes.
Yeah. Thank you for the lovely Business Bunker mentions. Swelling has gone down a lot. She stubbed her toes. Thank you for asking. Strapping toes up daily to support Broken One, which is still very hurty and wobbly. Hope it mends soon, as I've had to postpone so much.
Do you know, I've broken two toes. The one next to my big toe, whatever that's called. Because people have names for them, don't they? The little one's Pinky. Pinky, and the other one's Perky.
Perky, yeah.
But I've broken two of mine. One I stubbed on my in my bathroom. I've got a sort of a marble skirting board, and I stubbed that. It's so painful. And then my other one, I can't remember. I think my new husband trod on my other one. I was exiting the bedroom and he was rushing in and stubbed my toe.
Right.
And I never did anything. And looking at Tracy, I see I've missed a trick. She's got a whole sort of hat on hers.
Yeah.
She's got a little pink hat with bandages and things.
You need to strap them together. That's the way to have it. No, you strap them together.
Nobody told me.
My toes break as soon as they look at a skirting board. I don't even have to hit the skirting board and my toes break.
You know what you want to do?
Well,
remove all your skirting boards.
Yeah. And then I do it on the doors.
Yeah.
No, so from years of playing football.
That's why mine are all knobbly then, because I never strapped them.
Yeah.
But nobody told me.
Yeah. You need to strap them up.
Well,
right. Anyway, enough of that.
Now.
Enough of that nonsense. We've got some cheesy tunage coming up.
What we got?
Well, we're going to be talking to our first guest after the cheesy tunage, and our first guest is the lovely Gina London, who's a communications and leadership specialist.
Fabulous.
So I thought cheesy tunage, we go with this.
London's calling.
London calling, obviously.
Yeah.
Who's The Clash.
By? Oh, The Clash.
Of course it is.
Great song.
London calling.
Especially for her.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the communications.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania has bitten the dust. London calling. See, we ain't got no swing except for the rain and the crunch of things. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is within. Engines stop running, but I have no fear, cause London is drowning out. To the imitation zone. Forget it, brother, you can go in alone. London calling to the zombies of death. Quit holding out and draw another breath. London calling, and I don't want to shout, but while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling, see, we ain't got no hide, except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice coming, the sun's zooming in, engines stop running, the wheat is going thin, a nuclear error, But I have no fear, cause London is drowning. It was true. London calling at the top of the dial. And after all this, won't you give me a smile? London calling. I never felt so much alike.
Good afternoon. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Monkey Show for the very first time, Gina London. Gina, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Paul. It's a real pleasure to be here with you.
It's fantastic to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't we kick off by you telling us a little bit about Gina? Tell us a little bit about your background, because I know you've got a fascinating background.
Okay, well, I guess the first thing, if listeners are listening and they know that you're coming from the UK and my last name is London, I'll just quickly say from the accent that you're hearing, I'm an American. My last name is London, and that in 250 gets me into Buckingham Palace or a cup of coffee like any place else. But I do live full time now in Dublin, where I run a business on executive communications. I coach, train, and speak on the power of confident and comfortable communications with executives and with teams, called Language of Leadership. And the reason I got into that is because my background when I was in the States was I was a television journalist for 10 years with CNN.
Wow. Okay. So you're far more professional than me. So you really ought to interview me, Gina. To be honest, that's what could happen. Now, it's an absolute pleasure to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining us. And like you, I'm very passionate about communication. I worked as a motivational speaker for 18 years on the international circuit, and I know the power of communication, but you're an expert in it. So I want to hear from you about your business and what you do, and you've kind of given us an introduction to that, but why you feel it's so important.
Thanks. Well, you know, it started out actually, of course, when I was a kid growing up in a small town in farmland, Indiana. My big dream was to be a television anchor or correspondent and a journalist. And so I never thought post that once I attained that dream. And what happened was after my career with CNN wrapped up and I was working for a government affairs firm in the U.S., I had these strange things I never had with CNN, which were called vacations or holidays. And during that time, I signed up with a democracy development organization, and they sent me around to developing democracies, obviously, emerging markets like Indonesia and Cambodia and Romania and a number of other places. I lived in Egypt for a year, and it was that situation in that environment where I was being asked to help people tell their stories better. So right. This got me from the idea of journalism into training some of the techniques I'd learned through the rigors of 24-hour news. So I worked with the first women, for example, who were running for parliament from Iraq, if you can imagine, and right. helping these incredible, committed women tell their story and find a way to captivate an audience and get themselves elected. And I ran issue campaigns. The one in Cambodia was around the awareness of getting immunized against malaria. And so this idea of story craft, the idea of how to present, the idea of how to, if you're on a video medium to be able to present yourself in person, or of course with COVID and all the remote working virtually, that's where I sort of honed my skill and saw that there was a real value for this thing called communications training. Because I would have thought beforehand, I didn't even think it was, there was an expert field out there. I thought, well, you know, journalism, I get that, story construction and compelling ways to write. But I didn't really think about these things like executive presence and image and those types of things to help create an environment of trust and have that authority and credibility. Then I got asked to do what I was doing in the development world in the corporate world. And then I was initially intimidated by these big executive guys, largely guys, I have to say, sea of gray suits initially, and helping them be better presenters, helping them give meaningful interviews through the media, helping them then affect this thing that they called initially executive presence. And first I had to Google that because I didn't even know what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. And over time then, it's become more and more refined on my end. I've got some lovely friends in neuroscience and other academics that help me ratify my thought and my experiences so that we really make it research-based and find ways to help upskill and raise the awareness, enhance the abilities, and like I said before, just make people feel more confident and comfortable as communicators.
Absolutely. It's an interesting phenomenon, isn't it? Because stories are very powerful. And we speak to lots of entrepreneurs and business people on this show that have very, very powerful, passionate beliefs about what they do. And they've started a company or started a business or started an organization based on a fundamental desire to do something which they're passionate about. But they struggle to actually get that passion across.
Paul, and it sounds so obvious when you and I are talking about, like, well, yeah, if you're going to sell something, obviously you have to have a story around it. But I find that people can think about the product or the service, and then they can start to talk about why that's important and what types of problems it will solve. But then they forget to connect themselves as a person to it. If they're a business owner, what was their background story, or what was a important conversation they had in their life with a mentor or someone else that gave them that nudge to do it, what they do, and why they feel a sense of reward about the impact they're making other people's lives through those services or those products. Helping people get to the heart of what it is they do, and then not just the construction of it, because the construction of a story is really important, or the presentation or whatever. But what I really excel at, or what I'm really proud of that I can transfer to others, is this ability to raise your energy and your body language and your voice to be more compelling. And that's not just a natural thing. That's a developable thing. And that makes people not only have a great construct of a story, but also a really compelling delivery of that story. And those two together, I think, really make a difference in how people connect with you and listen to you and take meaning from you and have that sense of purpose. And then, of course, let's be honest, that then leads to more engagement from your employees or more connections with your clients and customers.
Absolutely. I'm smiling away here while we're chatting. Obviously, we're on the radio, so our listeners can't see this, but we're looking at each other. And of course, while you're explaining all this, your body language is fantastic, and you're very expressive with your hands. And that's something that I find people can be scared of sometimes. When people do a presentation or a talk or something, they tend to stand there rigidly with their hands down or holding a piece of paper, and don't become animated in their body language. Is that something that you're familiar with?
Absolutely. And that's my job security there, Paul. No, but here's the thing for those of you that are listening. Most business professionals, as I talked about the construct of a story or the construct of a media interview or the construct of the presentation, they spend so much time focusing on content that they forget then to engage what they would probably be doing really lovely in a lovely way naturally.
Yeah.
I've had, and this is where I help. I think I picture it like three legs of a stool. You've got your words, that's the content. You've got your body language that we're talking about. And then you've got that voice energy. And sometimes when people are focused so much on the content, they forget to engage that natural, passionate, energized voice quality that they would if they were talking about their kids or the rugby or the football or pick your sport or pick your hobby of choice. And then also the same kind of body language, your posture and your facial expression and your hands, as you see me gesturing, those things are naturally engaged for most people. Sure. But then they forget how to put it back into action when they're doing something that's considered businessy. And then if you imagine those three legs of the stool, you've only got the one. You've only got that content because your voice is flat and really monosyllabic and really business monotone. And you're, like you said, Paul, your hands are by your side, or worse, a lot of guys will just put their hands in their pocket because they don't know what to do. And their face looks like a deer in the headlights because they're so fixed trying to figure out and remember their words, because too many people try to memorize everything verbatim. And then they get hung up and they're scared because there's people in the audience, or it feels really unnatural because they're trying to present through this virtual medium that many of us are figuring out that we're not going to get away from after 2.5 years plus pandemic land. And so this is where I help people get excited about exploring these tools, having fun with the range of their voice, feeling more comfortable and natural with adding in posture and gestures and things like that. And I think one of my favorite one-on-one coaching clients is a senior leader over at the beverage company Pernod Ricard that brings us Absolut vodka and so many other Jameson whiskey and so many other popular beverages, but without taking any alcohol to help him become a better presenter. Through working with me, one of the things he said, and this means a lot to me, is that I said, what's one of the takeaways from our work together? And he says, Gina, I realize it's not cheating. And so layering these skills on, or habit stacking, like I say, is actually something that anybody can do, but it often takes practice and some coaching so you can reassure what's working, and then you can start to substitute things and modify things so they might work better.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it's interesting, isn't it, that even now in the 21st century, where we have so many media and mediums in which to express ourselves, with social media, video is endemic everywhere. We've all got our own TV channels and so on and so forth. But there's still this massive overlay of fear of speaking in public.
Because there's difference. Yes, you're absolutely. It's still out there because there's different styles of presenting. If you're watching YouTube or you're watching the TikToks or Reels on Instagram or whatever, you're seeing these fun little snippets. But they might have taken 25 takes before they hit play or press submit or whatever to actually make it go live, right? Yeah. But if you are speaking in a town hall or a customer meeting, or you're trying to engage employees live, in person or virtual, that can have a whole other set of fear.
Yeah.
And especially when you're a leader, because make no mistake, I'm a big believer in authenticity and bringing your true self and sharing personally. But I'm also, they live in tandem. They're not mutually exclusive. The idea that you can be authentic, but you can also be trustworthy, and you can make sure that you are relevant and that you are going to maybe refine your points and not just ramble off the top of your head. Because especially when you're a leader, you're thinking about who your audience is, what's your intent, and you're customizing that message so that you can really impact them, whoever they are, where they are. And that requires some preparation. It requires a little more structure, and it requires that level of delivery ability so that they want to follow you, because everybody's in their own head while you're talking, thinking about, does this matter? Do I care? I had a fight with my significant other 5 minutes ago and I'm focused on that, or I have other work I need to get done and this is really boring. And so why am I here? So if you can't reach through all that live, then you're probably not going to have any real meaningful impact. So all that could be riding with someone in their mind when they're coming into a live situation, and then comes the anxiety, and then comes the fear of, will it matter? Will I make a difference? Will I connect? I'm not good enough as Paul because Paul's been this motivational speaker, and I'm really feeling lack of self-confidence right now. And so these types of things are what prey in our minds. And that's why coaching is so helpful, especially in life situations, to help people feel more confident about how they're coming across.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, I want to explore now how you deliver some of these programs. So do you work primarily one-to-one with people, or do you do group work, or do you do both?
Yes, both is the short answer. Usually, and I largely work with multinationals. So usually it's big companies that have a dedicated talent and development department, because they see the value and they dedicate the resource to it. Hmm. So it can be high performing talent. It can be the senior executive team, like major global CEOs, like I mentioned, my guy at Pernod Ricard and others, but it's always human beings. Yeah. So if it's a team engagement, I do those virtual or in person. We're back in person now since 2022, which is great. But the idea then is to not be doing a one size shoe fits all training program, because that is not going to be hitting the mark and making people, individuals, feel more confident. So you've got to be really nimble in listening to them and providing workshops that are going to ask for sharing and getting to know them and trying to troubleshoot in real time as best you can. It's a lot of like fencing, you know, all the sorts of parry and thrust and adapting in real time. I think it's important because I do this, I speak on this stuff. So I'm constantly not just training, I'm actually doing what I talk about. And I think that's important for people to know that I didn't take the book off the shelf and I'm now just acting as a trainer. I actually do this work. So group stuff, a lot of one-on-one, and it's been a wonderful thing, actually. Weird silver lining of COVID is that I've picked up coaching clients from all over the world that I never would have been able to service before, because it would have been limited by the need to travel and meet them face to face. And Paul, like you, even though the folks can't see us as we're talking, we're here on Zoom as we're recording this, I've worked with people for months and have incredible transformation experiences with them and personal sharing from them. And like you, I never see their feet. Right. They're coming through a little screen.
You can only be 3 foot tall. Yeah, sure.
I know. I could meet them on the street and possibly, unless I heard their voice, not necessarily recognize them, because this medium is so two-dimensional and we don't have a spatial relationship to, like you said, how tall or how wide or but it's phenomenal, because again, most people want to be more confident about how they connect. Yeah. It's going to help them not just in business. It's going to help them with their day-to-day activities with doctors or mechanics. It's going to help them with their spouse, their significant other. It will help them with kids. Although I do not pretend to be a parenting expert as a single mom with a 15-year-old daughter. No, but there are some techniques around how you engage, thinking about your audience, how you structure what you choose to say and what you choose not to say, that does have application in every type of interaction. And I think this type of thing about communications can be learned, and there are some specific worldwide global human ways that are better than others. The research is out there, and I love working with people who want to do it. And then you hear that moment, or you can see that moment where the light bulb starts to go off in their head and they feel that they actually are. And probably for me, one of the best rewards is getting those follow-up emails even months later when our engagement has ended. Like I got the first of the year this year from a client I worked with in 2022, when he shared with me really in detail about a meeting that he went into and a presentation that he gave, that had we not worked together, he would have been filled with dread and anxiety about giving. And how he said, in his words, he knocked it out of the park. I mean, that's it. When someone comes back and says, you know what? Now I see. It's not just for Paul. It's not just for Gina. It's for me. I got to raise my awareness about what the tools are. I actually have to really have a desire. And then the hardest part is I need to do some day-to-day discipline work, because the number one thing about the neuroscience around this stuff is it's not just an attitude adjustment. You have to modify behaviors. If you change your actions, then you'll change your thoughts. And that's the real transformative way to change how you communicate and all those different applications that I talked about.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And the whole, for me, the whole thing about communication and being able to tell your story effectively is the number one skill that most people in business really need. We all have it to some extent, possibly. But, you know, as you say, developing it, working on it, getting it, honing it, making it work for you is the real key to all of this. And I just think it is just such a fabulous skill. And I do understand why people have fears. You like me, I mean, I do loads of radio interviews every week, and I meet loads of people that are fearful when they come on as guests on the station. They don't know what they're going to say, or you know, they're scared of making a fool of themselves, or saying something that somebody disagrees with, or whatever. And it never ceases to amaze me how people still fear telling their own story. Yeah. Because for me, they know their own story. It's just a question of having the techniques that you help them with to tell it.
I think that's great thoughts. And I think one of the things that, as you were speaking, came to my mind is when you say that everybody knows their own story. Yes. And most people probably would dismiss their story as not cool enough, frankly. I had a director of communications, if you can imagine, and I won't name the company because obviously we want to keep her very confidential, but big multinational company, tell me one time when we were talking about personal storytelling, she was really good at the external comms and even internal policy comms, but she never brought herself to it. And some of the reaction she was getting from other senior leaders and some of her 360s were coming back that she was aloof or that she was distant or that people didn't feel connected to her. And especially the newer generations, they want transparency. They want to feel connected to their senior leaders. And she said to me, but Gina, I don't share about myself personally because I have never done anything of merit. So can you imagine? You don't have to have climbed Mount Everest to have a story. And so what I really am passionate about is helping people understand that what they think might be too small to have impact probably is the very thing that is going to have impact. To the time when you fell off your bike when you were six, but your mom or your grandma or someone helped you get back on that bike, that's a story.
Yeah.
That time that you studied really hard overnight when you were in college and you aced the exam, or hey, you passed it and you didn't think you were going to, that's a story. But sometimes people's story, it's so big or ephemeral, they don't know how to refine it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people's stories just get unwieldy and they don't know how to control it. So what I love, and I live in Ireland now, you know, where people say, oh, we're a nation of storytellers. And I joke and say, yes, but stories have a beginning, middle, and an end.
Yeah.
So it's important to put that construction around it. And it's really important when you are story constructing that you make sure that the story has meaning back for your audience. What's in it for them? What's the take? What's the lesson you learned? What's the lesson that can be applied for them?
Absolutely. Gina, it's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you so much. If people want to find out about the work you do or to book a program with you or whatever, what's the best way to get hold of you?
Thank you so much. Please find me on ginalondon.com. That's my business website. But I'm also really active on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and would love to hear from any and every one of you, because if there's a way that I can help, seriously, I hope you could hear it through my voice and you couldn't see my body language. It is my passion. It is certainly my heart's desire to help anyone I can.
Fantastic. Thanks. Gina, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Gina London, communications and leadership expert. Thank you so much.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday, 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Welcome back. That was Gina London there, communications and leadership expert. What a fascinating story. So, good stuff. We've got another guest to talk to in the second half of the show, the lovely Becky Newman here. We're going to join the newsroom in about 9 minutes or so.
Yeah, I just found some exciting news about Radio 2. So I went on to Greatest Hits and saw their Twitter.
Mm.
And, of course, we were right. Ken Bruce is going over to them from April.
Yeah, so he's leaving Radio 2.
Yeah.
And he's taking Popmaster with him.
Exactly, he would. Because I love Popmaster. And I'm kind of wondering, I think the only thing I'm going to listen to on Radio 2 now is Whispering Bob Harris, if they've still kept him on. But they moved him from 7 p.m, which I used to listen to while I was cooking. And
absolutely.
They put him on at 9 p.m. when I'm sort of almost in bed by then.
Yeah.
My old age.
Well, well, because he whispers, you can fall asleep gently, can't you?
You can.
Right, I want to tell you about this. This is a really interesting thing that's happening. It's a theatre play. Yeah.
Oh, look, he's gone all dramatic.
Yeah, I have. Because there's a reason. And you're going to find out if you shut up long enough to listen.
Do tell.
Yeah, she talks over me all the time, Becky. She really does.
Hurry up,
it's a nightmare.
Hurry up.
Right. Applause Rural Touring and Frittenden Events present the Time and Again Theatre Earwig. Right?
Ooh.
Time and Again Theatre perform this funny and fast-paced new writing incorporating illustrated projections in the style of a 1920s silent movie. Earwig explores what it meant to be deaf in the early 20th century against the Art Deco decadence of the interwar years. I'm loving this. Earwig tells the story of Marigold Webb, who's researching to beetles, that's the little crawly animals, not the group.
George and Ringo.
Is unparalleled, but as a deaf woman in 1927, her work was largely ignored. Combining the weird, wonderful world of entomology with Marigold's fight to be heard amongst flappers, jazz, and an overbearing husband.
Charleston.
Yeah, exactly. Earwig is written by deaf and neurodivergent writer Laura Crowe, a very powerful piece of theatre. And Applause works largely with voluntary networks of community hosts to bring performance and creative activities to their local communities. This play is taking place between the 23rd and the 29th of January. It's only £10 to get in, but there are concessions at £6, and it's at the Frittenden Memorial Hall, the street Frittenden. And if you want to find out more or book your ticket, it's applause.org.uk/whatson/earwig. Let me give you that again. It's applause.org.uk/whatson/earwig.
And where is it again?
Frittenden Village Hall.
Where's Frittenden?
Frittenden.
Frittenden.
Frittenden. It's in the Weald of Kent.
Okay.
It's between Staplehurst and Marden and Headcorn.
Marden or Smarden?
No, between Marden.
Smarden.
No, not Smarden. Headcorn. It's nowhere near Smarden. It's between Marden, Staplecourse, and Headache. See, she's got me now, hasn't she? Yeah.
Are you thyroided today?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's really interesting
that
stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
What was interesting, listener, is that he got all theatrical when he was reading. His hands.
Yeah, no, well, I'm very passionate about it. As you know, I'm deaf, and I'm also the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society.
Yes.
And anything that raises awareness about those issues is really, really powerful.
We used to do a lot with the Kent, Kent Deaf Football Children's Team.
Yeah, well, that's all part of Kent Deaf Children's Society.
We used to do quite a lot with them. What's happened to that? We don't read it out very much anymore. We must get in touch.
Well, there's not a lot happening with it. I relate to it as well. This lady was talking about 1927. My dad was born in 1929. He's passed away now, but my dad was born in 1929 and he was deaf at birth. And when he came to go to school, they told him not to bother because they couldn't teach him anything because he was deaf and they wouldn't understand. So they just said, don't bother to come.
Well, I remember sitting on the sofa at your house once, having a lovely chat with your dad for about half an hour until your boy said he can't hear a word you're saying.
Yeah.
We had a lovely conversation.
Yeah, well, you do. You were talking. He's just nodding. Who was that mad bat that was just come over and...
He was nodding and smiling and I thought I was getting somewhere, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, he couldn't. But he couldn't hear anything.
No.
Not even a mutter.
No, he's deaf. Completely deaf. Yeah. The Curious Brewery in Ashford is set to double in size after it acquired craft beer and pale ale firm The Wild Beer Company. Wild Beer, based in Somerset, has gone into administration last month. Its beer ranges include White, Wild IPA and Pogo. It even made a beer, Enzo, made from wasp's yeast. Bet there was a sting in there, wasn't there? Yeah. But it came
they
unstuck.
They didn't bumble about with that, did they?
No, they didn't, yeah.
Must be good.
I'll buzz off. But it came unstuck after
waspish.
10...
Carry on.
It came unstuck after 10 years due to a myriad of factors, amongst them, according to his bosses, COVID, loss of export sales, spiralling production costs, damaging inflation and an increase in interest rates. Killing us all. Killing us all, it is. They did a deal and has now been struck with a Curious Brewery. The Kent firm will take over production of the World Beer Company's range of drinks at its brewery. It currently has the capacity to create 5 million pints a year. That'll be for just you then, Jules, yeah. And hopes to expand that to 15 million.
Wow.
There you go.
It's good to get some good news. And it is, I know a lot of small businesses are struggling. I was speaking to my local baker, actually. I know we're coming up to the news, so I'll gabble.
Yeah.
And he said that he's lucky. He's in a fixed energy price thing, contract, for 2 years. But he said if it carries on like this, he will have to close in 2 years. And he's an independent baker. And I was very sad because he's got ovens and things to run. And it is really, really difficult. Mm. But yeah, so we're thinking of all the businesses. And if you do follow retail, Richard Shawnee, what's he now? Retail something rather. I'll look it up. He's great for independent businesses.
Right. Have you got anything to read?
It's retail mentoring. I've got very long things, but follow Richard, retail mentoring. New Romney, here's a little something before the news I can squeeze in. Come and speak to local councillors, officers about your concerns on crime and antisocial behaviour. I have problems in this very studio with antisocial behaviour. Ah. Your local officer will be holding a police surgery at 10 a.m. on the 23rd of January, on the 27th of February, 24th of March and the 3rd of April. It's at the Town Hall offices, Town Council offices, Town Hall, New Romney in the Marsh. And also, a little job here, the New Romley Town Council require a temporary assistant caretaker.
Wow.
12-month contract with potential for permanent position thereafter. Duties include assisting with general maintenance of town council buildings, open spaces, litter picking, caretaking, cleaning and gardening. So an all-rounder, that sounds
absolutely
like.
Absolutely, yeah.
25 hours a week involving regular weekend and evening work. So for further info and an application form, contact the town clerk, spelt clerk, I always find that odd, which is Town Hall, High Street, New Romney, T for Tiger, N for Nigel, 28-8, B for Bertie, T for Tiger.
Pterodactyl.
Yeah. There is a number, 01-797-362348, or email the town.clerk, C-L-E-R-K, at newromney-tc.gov.uk.
Fantastic.
Great job,
Tracy Ferguson has tweeted.
I quite like that job.
And she, well, you apply for it.
Yeah, I will.
You'll be good at it.
Yeah, gardening.
You make a good caretaker.
Yeah.
I could
do the skirting boards.
Oh, you'd do the skirting boards, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I could imagine you in an overall, in a bib and braces overall with your little duster brush.
Yeah, a little
doing
boiler.
The skirtings.
I could have one of those scarves. You know.
Tie
up on my.
Yeah, like the housekeeper in Tom and Jerry, you mean?
Or I could be like Downton Abbey. That would be lovely, couldn't I? Little black and white with a little frilly apron. And
would you wear baggy stockings as well?
Not baggy ones. Did they have baggy ones?
Yeah, yeah, no. Well, you have to, if you're a housekeeper, you have to wear baggy stockings. Like Nora Batty.
Oh, that fall down?
Yeah, yeah.
I had a different vision of myself.
Okay. Anyway, Tracy Ferguson has been on Twitter. Wow, what a fantastic speaker Gina is. Extremely interesting background, passionate about her business, and some great advice on presenting and storytelling. What a fabulous interview. Absolutely, Tracy. Very impressive lady. Very impressive lady. Right, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we're going to talk to Becky Newman of Beeline Recruiting.
All about, recruitment, which we really need to know about now.
Absolutely. So let's join the newsroom, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Becky.
Can't wait.
Here we go.
What's going on?
The Business Bunker